is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 7th of June. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
Well, I'm good. You know, it's a stormy night up here. You know, it was a dark and stormy night. It's kind of a stormy night we're facing here in north central Nebraska tonight, but hopefully we won't have the really bad thunderstorms they've been talking about. If we do, we might go poof. We might lose power here at the old homestead.
Well, you know what? Then let's tell the listeners, if anything like that does happen, we will cut a podcast of this show and then put the podcast up.
Yeah, I mean, we can't predict the weather, and it's been goofy the last several days. You've had a lot of rain down there in Florida too.
Oh my god, the other day I was ready to build an ark.
Well, it might come to that. You know, but hopefully we'll get the whole show in, because folks, we've got a very important show tonight. Diane, you and I co-wrote an investigative report. We're going to cover that tonight. Why gun control laws don't work
and will not work.
You know, we did a lot of research, we did a lot of deep diving into this to get facts, figures, numbers, examples, all sorts of things, and it's going to take two full segments for us to get through this tonight.
Yes. And we want to leave room for some discussion, because there's a few important things that have happened since we locked and loaded our report in, where you really can't do any more changes. So, you know, we're going to keep you up to date on all of it.
What are you working on for next Tuesday?
Oh, dear. It's all done. What did I do?
I asked you first.
Oh, dear. Well, I'll tell you in a minute here. Hold on.
Yeah, this is what happens, folks, when we work ahead of the game. You know, when we work ahead of the game, we get caught up because we're writing one thing, we're researching another, we're getting ready for a show on a third thing, and it's easy to lose track. I've done that many times.
Yes, well, here, I'll give you the title so I think you guys can understand what I'm working on. Channeling Obama Means America Suffers.
I think we can get a pretty good idea from that.
Yes.
I really do. Now, I don't have a working title yet, but I'm doing what I promised to do.
Oh, that's right. That whole ridiculous Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Yeah, I'm covering that.
But the only good thing about it is Johnny Depp has probably brought the end of that ridiculous Me Too movement.
Well, we're going to find out next Tuesday. Okay,
yes.
I'll let you know all about it. I'll tell you folks more than you want to know if you didn't watch the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it, and I actually had to use Craig's article to catch up on everything going on with it.
I'll tell you, there's some fascinating political implications to it. But that's all coming up next Tuesday. Friday, of course, this Friday, is just a talk show. No specific right. segments. We'll discuss whatever's going on.
Right.
Well, let's start
Friday, we think of it as.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun that way. But let's start tonight with quick hitters. And in the quick hitters tonight, we've got Joe Manchin. Now, Diane, Joe Manchin made three promises when he first got elected. And right now, he's on the verge going back on all three of them because all three of them had to do with not raising taxes.
Right. His first promise was he said, I would not raise any taxes. Second, he swore that he would not raise taxes during a recession. And third, he promised that he would not raise taxes until the government was run efficiently. So, Joe Manchin, I ask you this. Do you think Joe Biden has run this country efficiently? Or is this a backdoor way at the very end? He's going to stab the Democrats and kill the whole thing.
Because I hope that's the case.
If he does vote to raise taxes, he's done as a senator.
Boy, I would think so. You know, his constituency is much more tax cognizant than, you know, most that actually elect a Democrat. He's not a diehard liberal. He's more of a blue dog Democrat, a Kennedy Democrat, if you will. And the only way he was going to get elected there was if he took a tough stand on raising taxes. Now, what Biden is proposing right now, and I hope, folks, I hope you're sitting down at home, is a $1 trillion tax hike.
Yeah. You know, we are very vulnerable now across the board. I don't care what socioeconomic bracket you belong to. Everybody is hurting to one degree or another. And if you add $1 trillion in taxes, it comes on the back of our shoulders. And I don't know of anyone who can afford a tax increase right now.
Well, it's even starting to piss off the millionaires, you know. you've got an economic problem when the millionaires in the country are starting to get pissed because, you know, it's hurting everything. The economy stinks, and yet Biden is out there talking about, you know, how robust our economy is. I don't know whose economy he's looking at, but it can't be ours.
No, it sure is not ours. And, you know, Joe, seriously, if you don't think we're in a... you know, if Joe Biden doesn't think we're in a recession, he's even more clueless than, you know, we suspect. Because while it's not a full-blown air quote type recession, because it still hasn't met the GDP mark of it. In every single other instance, this is a recession.
Well, you know, I mean, when gas prices have doubled, more than doubled, since Biden took office less than a year and a half ago, you know, when food prices continue to rise, when the price of everything continues to rise, everything that is except people's salaries. You know, I mean, you look at across the board, I don't care what it is you have to buy. I don't care if it's a car, if it's a dozen eggs. It doesn't matter what it is. The price of it is going up, a gallon of gas. You know, it's crazy. And as long as salaries don't keep up or outpace inflation, you can pretty accurately say you're in a recession.
Well, Hey, let's put it this way. Inflation is at 8.3%, the highest in 40 years. Gas prices are up 44%. Energy prices are up 30%. The cost of putting food on the table continues to rise, with the cost of eggs up 23%. The cost of meat is up 14%. There are also 11.4 million unfulfilled jobs. The supply chain is broken. Small businesses are doing everything possible just to stay in business. What more do you need to declare a recession?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's a matter of a technicality at this point.
Exactly. And folks, tell Craig, tell the folks what that technicality is.
Well, technically, you have to have two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. Now, we've already had one, and whether or not this particular quarter comes in at negative or flat, if it comes in negative, we're officially in a recession. If it comes in flat, we have just squeaked by an eyelash from being in a recession. But you look at economic experts and you look at what they're saying, and if we don't go into a recession now, we're destined for one in the very near future. So,
yeah. And the top economists from Wall Street are all greatly concerned, because stocks are not doing well, folks. And as goes the stock market, usually so goes the country.
You know, that's why we keep an eye on that. If you go to rspradio1.com, go to the business section, you'll find a lot of articles there that kind of forecast the economy and what top economists and top money people in this country are saying right now. It's not a pretty picture.
No, it's not a pretty picture, and it's very scary. And like Craig said, when you have millionaires and billionaires worried, you know we're in trouble.
Well, they're not just worried. They're pissed at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's even hurting their
all
ability.
The money that they make.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to see all the money that they're legally and legitimately making going to the government.
Right. It's not a pretty picture. Aside from the economy and Joe Manchin and taxes, that's just what we need is another tax hike at this point. But aside from all that, Biden's approval ratings seem to be the only thing going down.
Only 28% of all voters approve of Joe Biden, 71 disapprove of everything from his persona to his economic policies to the way he's running the country. And I'm going to say something. I wrote an article about it, and I'm going to say it again. Jill Biden, in my opinion, is guilty of elderly abuse because she is pushing a sick, physically sick, and mentally sick man. And she's helping by her pushing, helping him to destroy our country.
Well, it's not that he needs a whole lot of help from her. I mean, Obama's handling a lot of that, too. But, you know, the fact remains, and you and I were talking about this just a couple of minutes before we went on the air. Every time we see Joe Biden lately, he looks worse. Physically, he looks worse.
Worse and worse, and his skin now has a very waxy cast to it. It's almost like, okay, what do they have him on now to keep his eyes open or to speak a coherent sentence? Not that he does, but what passes for a coherent sentence. This man is destroying our country.
Well, you know, you talk about
he's saying he's wonderful, and the liberal media, our economy is great compared to the world's. Well, hello.
You know, we're becoming a third world country, but, you know, you talk about the color of Biden's skin. His skin is now about the same color as his hair plugs.
Yeah. Joe Biden, you know, take away the politics, take away all the name calling. Joe Biden is medically and mentally unfit to hold the office of president. And people are, like, when I put things to that effect up online, people say, well, look, what we'll get will be actually worse than Biden. And I tell them, and then they go like, oh my God, you're right. Yeah, we'll get Kamala Harris. But guess what, folks? There's no difference because it'll still be Obama pulling the strings.
Yeah, it's just shifting from, you know, one idiot to another, really, is what it comes down to. You know, but Biden's approval ratings are sinking like an anchor. And in fact, he's even now bleeding black voters.
Mm-hmm.
Black voter. I mean, you know, we've talked about the Hispanic voters that have been abandoning the Democrat Party because of Biden, but now we can see in poll numbers that even the African American vote is beginning to abandon the Democrat Party because, again, of Joe Biden.
Yeah, you know, all the promises that were made towards black voters, the only one that ever kept any of those promises was President Trump, because black employment went up under Trump like it had never gone up under any other president before him, or obviously after him. And I think they're starting to have buyer's remorse. They're also turning away from Obama too.
Well, and you know, that it's good that you bring that up, because you know, Obama, the first black, you know, use your air quotes, president, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't able to do, not that it was a matter of being able, he didn't do because he didn't want to do what he promised black Americans. But when Trump got into office, Trump did it. Trump raised the black entrepreneurship, black-owned businesses, black wages, black employment, and not just black, but minorities altogether. I mean, the Hispanic, you know, their numbers went up in the right places, too. Obama, you know, I mean, he made all these promises, just like everybody else has, but he wasn't going to follow through with it. You know, they make the promises, the liberals make those promises to garner the votes. But if they actually followed through on those promises, then the people that they're making the promises to would no longer be victims. They have to have victims.
Right. And their whole platform is based on creating victims, because if you create victims, you then get their votes, because they need you for their daily survival. The victims count on the government to help them get through the day, basically.
Well,
and it's a very sad situation that's been created.
Along comes a guy like President Donald Trump, and he puts things in motion that allows minorities in this country to thrive in ways they have never thrived before. And he did it by getting the government the hell out of the way.
It's called taking personal responsibility. You sink and swim on your own. Yes, there are some people that do legitimately need help, and we're not saying don't give it to those people, but get the sponges, you know, off our government teat, if you will.
Right.
Because those sponges are literally bleeding us dry.
Yeah, it's a fantastic situation when you look at it, because, you know, November's coming. We're only 5 months away. 5 months and a day away from the midterm election. There is no way they can turn it around. They can't turn this economy around. They can't get those voters back now. They have squandered everything for these.
Yeah, but you're forgetting something. As long as there's one Dominion machine out there, they can still pull it off.
I mean, when you look at these poll numbers, okay, and this is, I understand what you're saying, but when you look at these poll numbers, and these aren't concerned, this isn't like a Fox News poll or a town hall poll or something like that. These are major polling services, Quinnipiac, Gallup. Some of these are even ABC and NBC polls, okay? okay?
Yeah. Polls, yes.
Yeah. You look at the poll numbers right now, and if Democrats pull off a stunning major victory in November, there won't be any way to hide the fact that it's voter fraud, because these poll numbers show that there are no coattails for any of these Democrats to be riding on right now. None.
No, that part's very true. But still, Craig, I don't trust anything.
No, I agree with you.
We learned a lesson. Yeah, in 2020, that lesson was clearly laid out for us. And then what makes it worse is when you have state governors and state DAs not willing to conduct fair investigations. That's still out there. That hasn't gone away.
You know, and
so, you know,
watch 2,000 mules. Watch 2,000 mules. That'll give you a pretty good idea what really went on. Speaking of investigations, the January 6th hearing, the committee hearing, is coming up. I think it's on Thursday of this week. And Diane, they have hired the Democrats, the liberals, these nut jobs, have actually gone out and hired a television producer because they're going to hold these hearings in prime time.
Well, you know what? That's why they call it a political theater, because it's all acting. And this is going to be set up as a stage show. And it's going to be an absolute lynching again of the right, because they're not even allowed to call some of the key witnesses like Nancy Pelosi and her ever-loving, troublemaking son.
No, we won't hear from them. You know, we're not going to hear from any of those people. This is, you know, a prime time witch hunt, right? They're trying to blame all this on Donald Trump, President Trump. But there is another new poll that came out just a couple of days ago, shows fewer and fewer Americans are now blaming Donald Trump for what happened on January 6th. So even their numbers there are starting to go downhill.
Right. Well, it's going to be a very long but interesting night. That night, Craig, and we will be on until it's over.
You know, you and I may be the only people watching. What I'm really interested in, I mean, because, you know, like you said, this is all going to be kabuki theater, right? The theater of the absurd, political theater, whatever you want to call it. What I'm interested in is not what they present. What I'm interested in is what will their ratings be? Because you look at ABC, NBC, CBS, you look at the you know, mainstream cable news networks, CNN, MSNBC, their numbers are tanking. They are in the absolute abyss of ratings. Okay, I'm willing to bet these hearings on Thursday night in prime time, on primetime television, will be absolutely disasters in the ratings.
As they should be, because it is theater of the absurd. It is political posturing. That's all this is going to be, is political posturing. Trump did nothing wrong. No matter how many times you run those tapes, you see the same thing each time. He said to peacefully march, peacefully assemble. He never called for any kind of violence whatsoever. And you can only twist that discourse from the Democrats just so long.
Well, it's falling apart the same way the Russian collusion fell apart, quid pro quo fell apart, you know, the whole thing. So, you know, it's going downhill. I'm more interested in the final ratings, and I'm sure we'll hear about those ratings, because they're going to be a disaster.
I think these hearings themselves are going to be a disaster. They're going to be a joke.
I mean, if the ratings come back and say two people watched, it'll be Diane and me.
Yeah, that'll be it.
You know, that'll be
I hope they don't run them during Star Trek.
It's prime time. starts at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to miss Star Trek on Thursday.
I'm going to have to miss Star Trek that I've seen, like, you know, 100 times each one, but that's not the point.
Look, we got a few minutes left here in this segment. We got to talk about this. Yesterday was June 6th. Now, that is D-Day. It's the anniversary of D-Day. I can't believe it's been 78 years. I mean, it's hard to believe, and you and I were talking about it yesterday. There's very few left that actually survived that day on those beaches. Right. You put up a D-Day thing on social media. I put up a D-Day thing on social media. But, Diane, tell people who didn't.
Well, Joe Biden. Not until about 8:30, 9 o'clock that night. And what makes it worse, it's the second year in a row he has not, you know, said something, said thank you, just even mentioned the sacrifice that we and our allies made to keep us free. Nothing. He did nothing.
You know, he put up a tweet.
But that alone, he doesn't deserve to be president.
I agree. You know, he put up a tweet at 8:45 last night. Now, you know what that tells me? That tells me that he took his medication at 8:30.
Yeah. Yeah. Or his wife woke him up from, you know, one of his many naps. He probably needed a nap before he went to bed. I mean, a very simple thing is all you had to do. What I did was I put a picture of the beaches of the flotilla landing on the beaches. And I said something very simple. June 6, 1944, to those who served, to those we lost, to those still with us, heroes all, a grateful nation, a grateful world, says thank you. Joe Biden couldn't even do one sentence, folks, until late at night. And he was probably reminded, oops, you screwed up, Joe.
Well, you know, he spent 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and part of yesterday, on the beach in Delaware, ignoring the people who lost their lives on the beaches of France. Okay?
Right.
Why not knowing? I mean, look, the date never changes. It's June 6th, okay? So knowing right. The date's coming up, why don't you schedule a trip to Arlington? And
no, because Obama wouldn't let him do that. You don't think Obama had a hand in this?
Oh, I guarantee it. Come on.
I mean, you know, 44,000 of our and allied troops were lost in a single day, folks. 44,000. And nothing from the White House. Not a wreath. Not a brief address. Not a statement until late at night. This is America's president. This is the commander-in-chief.
Well, you know what makes it worse?
This is a disgrace.
You know what makes it worse? It was 78 years ago. That means Biden would have been in his mid-40s when it happened. He should certainly remember it.
In his mid-40s? No, if it was 78 years ago, isn't he 78?
I'm being facetious. I'm calling him an old geezer.
Oh, okay. Not one of your better snarks. Not one of your better snarks.
Well, you might be the only one out there that didn't get it.
Okay. Yeah, but, maybe.
I mean, look.
But then again, I'm tired.
The
I'm
fact
tired. I was in an insomnia night last night.
Yeah, you know, the fact of the matter is there are fewer and fewer and fewer Americans that are still alive who took part in that historic, maneuver 78 years ago. And the very least the American president could do is say thank you.
Right.
And he didn't do it.
He is the commander in chief. supposedly, and he didn't even honor those who serve under him. It's really a disgrace.
It is. Folks, we've hit the bottom of the hour. That means we have to take a quick break. Now, what we've got coming up is two segments dedicated to why gun control laws don't work. This is a co-written article. It's an investigative report. Diane and I worked on this for a good two, almost 3 weeks before we actually published it. And there's a lot of information in this article. So we're going to split it into two parts. And at the end of each one of those parts, we're going to leave some room for discussion so we can talk about it. But folks, stay with us. A special report, a special investigative report, why gun control laws don't work, is coming up after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot and Diane Sorey at The Patriot Factor. If you miss any part of tonight's show and you don't want to miss it, but if you do, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow. Check the podcast button. We'll have the show up there for you. It's important that you hear everything that we have to tell you about this. So, Diane, you and I co-wrote this investigative report. It's the first full investigative report you and I have done in a couple of years.
Yes, since we did one after Epstein, but we haven't done any since then.
Yeah, we've done some special reports, but we haven't done an investigative piece. So why gun control laws don't work? Diane, kick us off.
Okay. Uvalde, Texas, a name not soon forgotten, for it was here at Robb Elementary School where a lone gunman murdered 19 children and two adults. A bloodbath that should not have happened leaves enough blame to go around so as to encompass the whole of the left's anti-gun, anti-police agenda. Ban guns, ban assault rifles, ban any and all firearms, repeal the Second Amendment, place gun-free zone signs any and everywhere. This is the left's answer to everything gun-related, as is the defund police movement, a movement to replace police officers with community do-gooders who think that hugging someone is the answer to rising crime statistics. But first, regarding guns and so-called assault rifles, know that no amount of banning, repealing, or signage placed will stop someone hell-bent on killing innocent folks. And know that nothing will stop firearms from being bought under the table, nor will anything stop the media-driven, politically generated notion that it's guns that kill people, instead of accepting as fact that guns do not kill people, people kill people. And until those eight words become the reality of truth, America will still bear witness to gun violence being committed against innocent and defenseless persons. Children assuredly amongst them, for nothing feeds into the left's anti-gun narrative more than the death of children. But before we get into the actual logistics of why gun violence now seems to be happening on a somewhat routine basis, Craig, we first must need to identify not only its root cause, but how gun violence itself is being used as part of the left's plan to bring America to her knees.
You know, it's interesting because when you look at, stand back far enough and look at the big picture in this thing, like so many other topics that you and I cover, history plays a role in it. And I don't think there's any exception to that rule when we're talking about gun violence and the topic of gun control, is there?
No. And let's start by saying, like you said, history has shown that while a modicum of violence has always surfaced, even in the most civilized of societies, the end of violence usually occurs when the root cause, read, person here, is exposed. And with violence seemingly being America's new norm, we believe that the root cause can be summed up in but three words: Barack Hussein Obama. The man who, with a simple sentence, set America on the violent course we see happening today. Quote, "If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. Set all that was to follow into motion. For with those words spoken back on March 23rd, 2012, Obama single-handedly turned criminals into victims and victims into criminals, thus allowing the entire narrative to be driven by his self-perceived racism alone, especially when the criminal is a young black man and the victim is white. And if by chance a young black man was shot by a white officer while in the process of committing a criminal act, said officer always seems to be found guilty in the court of public opinion, even before all evidence is gathered or a trial has taken place. But sadly, our judicial system seems more than willing to play along. Facts and evidence, even confessions, no longer seem to matter, for those 10 words of Obama's set America on its current course to where so-called identity politics regarding both the color of one's skin and or the badge one carries becomes the deciding factor in all that is to follow. And so began not only an increase in gun violence, but the violence itself gave birth to the claim that America is an inherently racist country, with a bias against black people built into both our judicial and law enforcement systems. A once healing racial divide now saw its scab being ripped open to bleed once again by a man so inherently racist against his own white half that his goal became to leave America weaker and more racially divided than ever before. And in that he succeeded, not only with his laying the foundation to use against our constitutionally given Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, but in his knowing that firearms would then become the sole purveyor of those wishing to do bodily harm. But it doesn't end there, for with his words spoken, Obama, we believe, allowed domestic terrorist groups, groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, to help set both law enforcement policy and its tangible outcome. Simply, Barack Hussein Obama, with his words regarding Trayvon Martin, coupled with his politically driven call for a fundamental transformation of America, in our opinion, started the downhill spiral where mass school shootings like those in Newtown, Connecticut, Parkland, Florida, Blacksburg, Virginia, and now Uldavi, Texas, have become the fuel needed by the left to not only call for even more gun control laws, but to give credence, as erroneous as it may be, to the call for the repeal of the Second Amendment, which, if appealed, would leave America's firearm owners open to criminal charges. And Craig, Obama's goal of fundamentally transforming America into a socialist nation will have been reached, leaving we the people unarmed. Thanks to his setting the stage for where new gun control laws passed would reign supreme, an America devoid of freedom, where the Constitution itself has been rendered into but an antiquated piece of useless paper.
You know, it's really interesting when you look at it from that standpoint, because you're absolutely right, Diane. You know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that is what puts power in the hands of the people. When you start chipping away at that or take away some of those rights wholesale, you have literally rendered the people devoid of protection. You're 100%
right. Yeah, you've rendered the words of the Constitution basically impotent. You've negated all of them.
Yeah,
that's what Obama wanted then, and he wants it now.
It's a sad deal, but you know, while Obama did indeed lay the groundwork for the racial end of what has manifested in rampant, unchecked violence with his absurd words regarding Trayvon Martin, a statement clearly meant to set race relations back some 50 years, we also believe that the roots of what we're seeing today go even deeper than just the racial aspect of the violence. Back in 1990, the sweeping Crime Control Act was passed. That legislation was sponsored by none other than Joe Biden when he was but a gaffe-prone senator. His Crime Control Act was an amalgam of many smaller bills that became packaged together. And one of those smaller bills, sponsored by Democrat Senators Herb Cole out of Wisconsin and Dennis DeConcini from Arizona, was the Gun-Free Zone Act. And 5 years later, in 1995, Senator Herb Cole sponsored the Gun-Free School Zone Act. Now, the Gun-Free School Zone Act prohibits guns that have been part of interstate commerce within 1,000 feet of a school, thus providing the federal government jurisdiction over firearms in a way that adheres to the Constitution and sneakily allows the federal government to possibly make criminals out of perfectly law-abiding citizens who might own a gun and live within 100 feet of a school. So make no mistake, gun-free zones and gun-free school zones were never designed to stop criminals from committing murderous rampages. They were instead designed to leverage more power to the federal government as a way to infringe upon the Second Amendment as part of the liberal agenda, with gun-free zones also creating an even bigger problem than the liberals who sponsored them claimed they would fix. To average law-abiding citizens, gun-free zones seem like a safe place because the law says nobody within the zone is allowed to have a gun. But to the criminal element, to those hell-bent on murdering as many people as possible in as short a time frame as possible, gun-free means target-rich. Diane, those with mass murder in mind know full well that within a gun-free zone, they will not be challenged by any law-abiding gun owner, and they will have the cushion of time before police arrive to stop them. The murderer literally knows that they can carry out their crimes with impunity for a time to create maximum impact and death before they're challenged by a good guy with a weapon.
What's very interesting here is the left loves to scream that mass shootings, mass violence is rampant in this country. But folks, nothing could be farther from the truth, because the statistics, the percentages prove otherwise.
Well, that's true. The numbers prove what you just said and what we're saying throughout this article. In fact, since 1988, more than 85% of all mass shootings, shootings where four or more people were killed, not including the gunman, more than 85% of those shootings have taken place in a gun-free zone. Now, to put it another way, more than 85% of mass shootings in the U.S. since 1988 have taken place in a target-rich zone. Former Texas Congresswoman Susanna Gracia Hupp survived one of those target-rich zone shootings at Luby's Restaurant in Killeen, Texas, back in 1991. Hupp was there having lunch with her parents when a gunman came into the establishment, which had a sign on the door reading "Gun-Free Zone." 23 people died in Luby's that day. Two of them were Hupp's parents. Hupp herself was a gun owner, but she was also a law-abiding citizen. And knowing that she was entering a gun-free zone but a target-rich zone, she left her weapon in her car 100 yards away. Columbine High School was a gun-free target-rich zone. So, too, were Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and so many others, including Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. According to the National Review, since 1950, all but two public mass shootings in America have taken place where general citizens are banned from carrying guns. In Europe, it's been no exception. Every mass public shooting, and there have been plenty of mass public shootings in Europe, every one of them has occurred in a gun-free zone. In addition, they've had three of the six worst K-12 school shootings in Europe experienced by far the worst mass public shooting perpetrated by a single individual, that being in Norway in 2011, which, from the shooting alone, left 67 people dead and 110 wounded. So, when one looks at the numbers, Diane, which you and I have, one can clearly see that gun-free zones are a massive and deadly failure. Yet nobody in Congress seems to want to admit to the deadly mistake or even try to reverse that mistake. In fact, elected liberals only want to compound their mistake by making it harder, if not impossible, for law-abiding citizens to protect themselves or others by passing more and more restrictions on gun ownership, thus further infringing upon our Second Amendment. And in short, they're blaming the gun and not the actual murderer.
Yes. Now, before we get into part two, which will be after our little break, I think here, it's kind of important to say something. You know, the Democrats, all they want to do is make more laws, more gun control laws, take away our Second Amendment, put up more gun-free zone signs, all stuff that has proven not to work. What they fail to do is enforce the gun laws already on the books. They completely have pushed those laws out of the public discourse for new, even stricter laws. Well, how can you have stricter laws when the laws that are there, but maybe not as strict, aren't working? Nothing is working in regards to gun control for the simple reason guns do not kill people. People kill people. Maybe they need laws that, you know, take into account someone with any kind of specific record, you don't get a gun. Well, at least not legally.
But they need
better background checks. You know, there are things you can do without putting more laws on the book.
Well, and we're going to talk about some of those things in the next segment of the show. Mm-hmm. But looking back on what we've just talked about, Diane, you make a great point. You know, they keep wanting to enact more and more and more laws. Okay. And mm-hmm. when you look at the laws, what those laws do is prevent law-abiding citizens from gun right. ownership. They don't prevent the criminal element from gun ownership. I mean, look, let's just for a moment take a look at Chicago. Okay, how many of those criminals on the streets of Chicago that are guilty of hundreds and hundreds of shootings on the streets of Chicago every year, how many of those people legally own the gun they use?
Very few.
Very few, if any.
Right.
You know, the criminals, they don't care about the laws. Only the law-abiding care about the laws. We're going to talk more about that coming up in the next segment. But, you know, the other thing that you have to keep in mind, and this is something the liberals will never, ever tell you. They don't want you to know this. If you bring it up to a liberal, they'll tell you you're crazy. They'll tell you you're a gun nut, that you're clinging to your Bible and your guns. You know the drill, right? They won't want you to know that every year, 2.5 million times in this country, every year, a good guy uses a gun to defend himself, his family, or somebody else.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's another misnomer that's going around that the Democrats are pushing. And maybe if we change these two words, the majority of Americans might look at what's happening a little bit differently. First of all, yes, there are mass shootings. No one's saying there isn't. However,
Diane, you dropped out. I don't want to lose this point. Hang on. Wait for the Skype. Okay, you're back. Skype came back.
Okay. What I was saying is the Democrats are well known for misnomers. They like to push their rhetoric and that's it. Well, maybe there's two words that need changing that might help change America's perception of what's going on. It's not gun violence that's happening in our country. It's criminal violence that's happening in our country.
That's a great point, because they keep labeling it gun violence. It's not gun violence,
right.
But they want you to think it's the gun. It's the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun.
No, it's the person who is pulling the trigger on that gun. And most times, those people that have done it do have some kind of criminal record. It's criminal violence and not enforcing the gun laws we already have, including the background checks. It's too easy, maybe, to get a gun for certain individuals. And I'm going to say something that a lot of people don't like, but people that have been deemed mentally ill should not be allowed to own a firearm.
I agree with you, but here's the problem. Okay, if let's just say, for the sake of playing devil's advocate, let's just say that such a law gets passed, then you and I both know what happens. The liberals will set about finding every way possible to get as many people deemed mentally unstable as possible. They will cook
right.
things up. I mean, just the way they cooked up the Steele dossier, just the way they create victims out of thin air. They will find every excuse in the book. You know, for instance, if you wear white after Labor Day, you must be mentally ill. Therefore, you should not own a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll come
that
to
is,
that. And
that
I say
is,
that almost facetiously, but it'll come to that.
It's true, though. You might be saying it facetiously, but it's 100% true, because the history of this Democrat Party has proven just that. You know, we need to make firearms work for us, not against us.
Well,
and that's the problem here. Instead of making the gun the bad guy, make the guy who pulls the trigger the bad guy, and make the guy who stops them because they do have a firearm on their person, they should be the hero. We've got the whole scenario twisted around, thanks to the Democrats.
Well, they've been at that for half a century. You know, they've been
longer,
twisting
probably.
That. Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, noticeably, they've been at it for the last 50, 60 years. You know, and let's not forget about the number one gun law in this country. It's called the Second Amendment.
Exactly. Constitutional carry should be the way it is. That's basically how it was written. That's basically how it should be. the Constitution is our permit. And until people understand that, we're going to keep having this. We're still going to have the pro-gunners against the anti-gunners, and it's just going to be a mess, and nothing's going to get done, and no law you're going to pass is going to stop someone who wants to kill someone because they'll get a firearm under the table.
Well, and you know, it's simple. I mean, you look at it, you look at the numbers. We're going to have a lot more numbers coming at you in the next segment here as we continue our discussion on why gun control laws don't work. But when you look at the right numbers and the statistics and the history of it, all three of those things are coming at you in the next segment. You can see exactly what we're saying here. I mean, there's no way to dispute it unless you lie about it, and that's what the liberals are doing. They're lying.
Yeah, but more and more people, as our cities become more and more dangerous, as more and more innocent people are being killed because of criminal violence, it's starting to turn around a little bit, because even some Blue Dog Kennedy Democrats are saying to enforce what we have, make background checks more key, more important, and keep the mentally ill people from owning a firearm. I mean the ones with criminal records, okay? A lot of these so-called mentally ill people that have gone around, like the Parkland shooter, he was known by the schools as having serious mental issues. He was known as a troublemaker by the police. And yet, well, he was still able to get a gun.
Sandy Hook was the same thing. Adam Lanza was known to the right police. He was known to have violent tendencies. He was certainly on law enforcement's radar. You know, but when these things happen, the way they did then, the way they happened at Virginia Tech, the way they happened at Marjorie Stoneman, you know, the first thing you hear is, well, you know, somehow they slipped through the cracks. Well, we got to seal up the cracks.
No, they didn't.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
they didn't slip through the cracks. They were allowed to fall through them because they knew. These people knew that those individuals had serious problems, and they just try to slap a Band-Aid on it, give them a kiss on the cheek and say, it'll be okay, it'll be okay.
Well, and I'll say this as plainly as I can, okay? We got to stop mainstreaming the nutballs in this world. You know. Oh, well, we don't want to offend the nuts. We don't want to offend those that are mentally unstable, you know, by calling them mentally unstable and putting certain parameters on. We can't offend those people. You know what? Maybe we better.
It's way past time that we better, because this is going to continue, folks. It's not going to stop unless mindset is changed. Guns are not the enemies. It's the one who pulls the trigger.
Folks, we've come to the end of this segment. We've got one more segment to go. I know we're getting into the break about a minute and a half early here, but that's okay. We're going to take our top of the hour break, get a couple of station IDs, and when we come back, we are going to finish with this investigative report, Why Gun Control Laws Don't Work. So stay with us. Plenty more information to come and plenty more discussion to be had when we come back from the break on Right Side Patriots. After this.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. Right Side Patriots, every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's a special investigative report tonight, Why Gun Control Laws Don't Work. If you miss any part of it, go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning, click on the podcast button. This show will be right there with all the others. Now, I want to also bring up, there's a couple of different ways that you can get this commentary, this investigative report. If you go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, click into the investigative report button on that one. Go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or if you just go to rspradio1.com, you can find the link in all three of those places. You can read this report for yourself, and we hope you share it everywhere you can, because that's important. People need to understand the truth of all of this.
Right.
Okay, so we've talked about the Second Amendment. We've talked about kind of what set all of this into motion. Barack Hussein Obama, what he said about Trayvon Martin. So where do we go from here?
Okay, let's talk about the specifics regarding the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School. No, that such shooting did not have to happen, nor did 21 innocent lives have to be lost, if only the Uvalde Police Department had done its job. And know that as staunch supporters of those in blue, this is not an allegation we make lightly. What with facts now being disclosed, proving that gross negligence was indeed committed when police arrived on scene, and that an attempt was made to, if not cover it up, to at least temper it down, the rightful rhetoric a bit. So as Uvalde's Mayor Don McLaughlin requests, the search for the truth now sees the Justice Department's Office of Community Policing Services conducting a review into how the Uvalde Police Department, who, as we were writing this, was no longer cooperating with the DOJ, coupled with the actual officers on scene, both mishandled and then released false information regarding the then happenings in progress. But first, we must examine the actual timeline of events in order to better understand both the outcome of the events in progress and exactly why an official investigation into both actions and inactions taken has begun. According to Steve McGraw, the director of Texas Department of Public Safety, the timeline of happenings, which we are paraphrasing in our own words, basically reads as follows. 11:27 a.m. The exterior door where soon-to-be murderer Salvador Ramos entered the school was propped open by a teacher, but no one is exactly sure why. 11:28 a.m. Ramos crashed the vehicle he was driving into a ditch near the school. Upon hearing the crash, a teacher ran to get her phone, then ran back to the open door to call the police. At this point, two males at a nearby funeral home approached the crash scene to see if anyone was hurt and needed help. But they ran from the accident scene when an uninjured Ramos emerged from the car and began shooting at them. Hearing the shots, the same teacher then called 911 from inside the school and said a man was running around shooting a gun. 11:31 a.m. Ramos, now on foot, reaches the school parking lot and begins shooting at the school building itself while patrol vehicles begin arriving at the funeral home. And here is what we call critical point one. With the funeral home being quite near to the school, the teacher standing by the open door, which we have since found out had a lock that did not work, was able to see Ramos running with a gun, shooting at those trying to offer help, and then started shooting at the school building. And yet this teacher, who has now lawyered up, did come close did not close the open school door, which remained open for another 4 minutes, thus allowing Ramos to gain entry and massacre 21 people. 11:33. Ramos enters the school and begins shooting into what is either room 111 or room 112, firing off more than 100 rounds. 11:35. Three Uvalde police officers now enter the school via the still open door. By this time, another four officers and a deputy sheriff have arrived on scene, allowing the first three officers to try closing the door, with two of them being grazed by bullets while doing so. Correct, critical point two. By now, 100 shots have been fired into the classroom where Ramos had barricaded himself, and yet the police were still doing nothing to engage nor stop him.
You know, as you look at the timeline on this, and, you know, it's a minute-by-minute-by-minute timeline that we've provided in this article. It is almost unfathomable. It's completely unconscionable. The way things transpired from a standpoint of the police department, law enforcement, and school officials. But those 100 shots that were fired, that was not the end of it, right?
No, not at all. Because at 11:37, Ramos fired off yet another 16 rounds inside the classroom. 11:51, more officers arrive on scene, as do U.S. Border Patrol agents. 12:03. By now, as many as 19 officers were gathered in the school's hallway, basically standing around, doing nothing. Critical point three. Sad to say, but these officers stood around, not even trying to see if, at this point, the 116 shots already fired had injured or killed anyone. And why? Because these officers were apparently told by Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District Police Chief Peter Arredondo not to engage with the shooter, because it was believed that with Ramos now barricaded inside a classroom, that he was no longer a threat to the children. Simply that the scene was no longer active. Unbeknownst to them, 19 children and two teachers had already laid dead, because of not only a wrong, ever so misguided judgment call, but because of what we believe to be cowardliness on the part of the unshielded officers who feared for their own lives. 12:15, a Border Patrol tactical team arrives with body shields. 12:21, Ramos fires even more shots, this time at the classroom door leading to the hallway. Finally, a full 88 minutes after Ramos fired the first shots while barricaded in the classroom, police officers moved down the hallway to the classroom, but it would be another 30 minutes before they entered the classroom. 12:50, officers secured a set of keys from a janitor, unlocked the classroom door, and a Border Patrol agent kills Ramos. Now here's critical point four. And the truth slowly started to leak out, forcing authorities to admit that students and teachers inside the school, along with parents who had gathered outside the school, had repeatedly called and begged 911 operators and those few police already on scene for help, both before and after Arredondo told the officers to basically stand down. And when this scenario finally reached the public discourse, not only were the victims' families' grief compounded, but new concerns were raised that eventually led to the Justice Department getting involved. And Craig, this was the question they asked. Could lives have been saved if officers had acted quickly to stop Ramos's rampage? Logic alone should tell you yes.
You know, it's stunning. Like I said before, when you look at that timeline, when you see it minute by minute, and think every second that goes by in those nearly 2 hours, that guy was in that building shooting and killing people. And you've got police, 19 cops in the hallway doing nothing. I mean, that's just staggering to me. Staggering.
Well, the new information that has come out now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. Oh, the radios didn't work. The command radios didn't work. Bull.
I can't buy that. I'm sorry.
I don't buy that either. I think this was a mix of screw-ups and cowardliness.
I think you're right. So the question now becomes, as it always does, will more laws prevent the next mass murder event from taking place? And to find the answer, we must look at the responses to such horrible events. Liberals have a set agenda, and a large part of that agenda is to eliminate the Second Amendment. Liberals no longer care to give time for families to grieve the loss of loved ones, and have taken, over the past decade, to immediately, before the smoke even clears, make mass murders in public places political. They blame the guns. Since at least 1991 and the shooting at Luby's in Killeen, Texas, liberals have consistently blamed the gun, and their answer is always more anti-gun laws, because anti-gun is liberal cover for anti-Second Amendment. Liberals want to make it harder for people to purchase guns, but we already have background checks and waiting periods for most gun purchases. We already have laws preventing felons from purchasing or being in possession of guns. Are those laws working to prevent murderous criminals from possessing guns? No. While such laws inhibit law-abiding citizens from gun ownership, criminals don't care about the laws. More to the point, law-abiding citizens don't carry in gun-free zones. Criminals do. Liberals also make a habit of denouncing certain guns or magazines before the smoke clears, often calling an AR-15 a weapon of war. The AR-15-style rifle fires a .223 round, and if you ask any combat veteran if such a gun is a weapon of war, they will simply laugh at you. Liberals also want you to believe that an AR-15 is the same as an automatic weapon, but clearly it isn't. An AR-15 will only fire as fast as you can repeatedly pull the trigger, while a true weapon of war, the M4, will fire in burst or full auto mode simply by holding the trigger back. That's a substantial difference. Liberals use assault rifle as a catch-all phrase and hope you don't know the difference, but the definition of an assault rifle is a military firearm that is chambered for ammunition of reduced size or propellant charge and has the capacity to switch between semi-automatic and fully automatic fire. That is not an AR-15. Diane, full auto firearms are legal. They are very difficult to get. And even with a federal firearms license, $15,000 plus, you'll have to wait a year or more for the transfer via an ATF Form 4. To be clear, fully automatics are not being used by the ilk of shooters, such as the one at Robb Elementary School.
No. Well, you know, this brings up some interesting questions. You've talked about why certain guns, certain firearms are not the ones that are being used. You've explained the differences. So what does that leave us with? If those kind of things that they're trying to ban are the ones that are not being used, what exactly are being used? And do you think those should be banned?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's look at the numbers, okay? Because numbers are numbers, facts are facts, and numbers don't lie. In the majority of mass shootings, 56% of the murderers use a handgun. All mass murders. Next, we need to look at homicides as a whole. And there, we find that only 0.1% of all homicides are mass shootings. Liberals would also have you believe that mass shootings are nearly exclusively an American issue. But that, too, is false. While the U.S. accounts for 4.6% of the world's population, only 1.43% of all mass shootings worldwide are committed in the U.S. Here's another fact that liberals don't want you to know about. As per the Pew Research Center, gun-related murder numbers in the U.S. are lower today than they were in the 1970s. There were 4.6 gun murders per 100,000 people in 2017, far below the 6.2 recorded in 1976. And mass public shootings are the rarest of all gun-related murders. Finally, liberals blame the Second Amendment, and there is a distinct reason for that part of their agenda. It becomes very problematic for a tyrannical government to rule over the people if the people are armed. On the other hand, an unarmed populace is an easy target. It's not that liberals don't know that. It's that they do know it, and that is exactly why they take immediate advantage of people's raw emotions in the aftermath of a tragic event like a mass public shooting to try and advance their unconstitutional agenda, not to protect people's lives, but to enhance their power over the people. 18th century criminologist Cesar Bassiera said of laws meant to disarm the public, quote, "They disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man," unquote. Thomas Jefferson said of the right to keep and bear arms, quote, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery," unquote. And in his first annual address to both houses of Congress back in 1790, a year before the Second Amendment was ratified, George Washington said, quote, "A free people ought not only to be armed, but disciplined. Manufactured public outrage and liberal policies that place outrage and criminal behavior above the law and order values of America, what we have today is not a gun problem, but a discipline problem, a societal problem. And neither legislation nor liberal policies can fix the problems liberals and their policies have created. Remember, any gun is only as dangerous as the person holding it. And that is the real bottom line."
Exactly. And again, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
You take away all the guns, simple. Diane, and people are still going to find a way to kill other people. You go back to the late 1970s, 1978, I think it was. Jim Jones in Guyana, Africa, killed 900 people without a gun.
That's right. And people forget that.
Mm-hmm. You know, you look at what happened on London Bridge a few years ago. That guy didn't use a gun. He used a knife.
Yes.
You know,
people forget that.
I mean,
And people use cars. I mean, they use whatever they can get their hands on.
Yeah, how many times do you hear a news How many times did you hear a news report somebody was killed by blunt force trauma?
No.
You know, I mean, that's somebody beating somebody to death with something. They can get rid of the Second Amendment.
And that's what it all boils down to. Not only get rid of the Second Amendment, but have even more control over we the people. Everything with the Democrats boils down to control. And the sooner people realize that, the better off we'll all be.
It's not about your safety. It's about their ability to control you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know?
But nobody, you know, realizes that. Or if they do, they're so afraid that they already have the control that people are afraid to speak up.
It's really a shame. I mean, the Second Amendment is pretty clear. I don't see any gray area in the Second Amendment.
People
have a right to keep and bear arms, and it shall not be infringed. I don't see the gray area.
No. No. I don't know where that area is. Maybe then we'll have discussions. But the Constitution is the law of this land, whether the Democrats want to accept that or not. And that's the problem. They do not want to accept it.
You're 100% correct. You know, when our founders and framers came up with the Second Amendment back in 1791, you know, this really tells you where the liberals' heads are. They said, well, you don't need an AR-15 to go hunting. You don't need a weapon of war to go hunting. Well, our founders and framers weren't coming back from a hunting trip. They were coming back from a war of independence. They understood why we needed guns.
Not only that, Craig, what all these people forget is times change. We've progressed. You know, some of the liberals come up with the argument, well, there was no automatic weapons, that it was only muskets. Fine. Well and fine. But the founders and framers
Not only did they know, but when liberals say something like that, when they say, well, yeah, all they had was muskets. They could not have known about things like this. All they had was muskets. Right. Well, what liberals are doing, and they want you to do it too, folks, make no mistake. They want you to only think about this in reverse. Okay, they're not putting themselves in the present day mindset that those founders and framers were in. When the founders and framers came up with the Second Amendment, the musket was the most technologically advanced firearm available.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it that way. You know?
Right.
Those founders and framers, in the course of their lives, they had seen firearm technology advance, for goodness sakes. Mm-hmm. They knew they weren't the end-all, be-all. You know? I mean, it's stunning.
But that's not how the liberals see it now. They want to twist it to fit their agenda. They have made guns, firearms of any kind, into a political weapon.
That's it. That's it, plain and simple. Yeah, now, there are some things. Well, yeah, the media's big on helping this. You bet. It's all part of the liberal agenda. Look, folks, there's a couple of things embedded in this investigative report that Diane and I want to draw your attention to. Diane, tell them about the video that's embedded in this.
Okay. Yeah, I actually embedded in here the Texas shooter. It's called Texas Shooter Sprays Bullets Inside the School. Now, what it is, it's a chilling Texas shooting terror was actually caught on camera. And here you can see in this video, parents begging. Kids are calling the parents on their cell phones from locked inside to the parents. The parents are begging the police to go in, and the police are doing nothing. And the second thing we have embedded in here at the very bottom, it's a footnote. And it's a look at the facts on gun-free zones. Those facts that Craig read you just a few short minutes ago Those facts are in here and even more facts, and it's worth a look-see at.
Well, not only that, but we also included a couple of pie graphs, pie charts, in this that, mm-hmm. that actually show you very clearly and very succinctly what kinds of guns are being used in mass public shootings and what kind of guns and what kind of statistics they are on firearm homicide by the numbers. So the footnote, the pie graphs, the video, these are all things that you can only get and only see if you actually go and get the link to this investigative report. And again, there are three ways to do that. You can find the investigative report in the op-ed section on Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. You can go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or you can go to rspradio1.com. Any one of those three places, you can get why gun control laws don't work. And we hope not only that you read it and you look at the video, you look at the charts, you go through the footnote, but we hope you share the link to as many different places as you can.
Yeah, because as long as people are still of the mindset that a sign is going to stop a criminal from doing something, you really are grossly mistaken. If someone is hell-bent on killing someone, they might not get their firearm legally, but they'll get one. Criminals always find a way.
That's just a fact. Can't get around it. You can't. You can lie about it, but you can't get around it.
Right.
It is what it is.
You can lie about it.
Folks, we want to thank you for joining us tonight for this special investigative report, Why Gun Control Laws Don't Work. Grab the link, share it everywhere you can. We've got a talk show coming up on Friday, and we've got a couple of great segments. We'll have some information for you on Tuesday, and we'll have some fun, maybe a few laughs, on next Tuesday's show as well. I promise.
More than a few.
I promise. But with that, Diane, we've come to the end of this show, and it's time for you and I to say goodnight.
Nighty night, folks.
Have a great rest of the week, folks. We'll catch up with you on Friday. Bye-bye.